Well, you sound so good singing today. I could just listen to you sing for the next 30 minutes. Sounding real good. I'd like you to open your Bible, please, to Exodus chapter 3, please. Exodus chapter 3 and verses 1 through 14. This morning I'd like to speak to you on the call of God concerning Moses and God's care for Israel. The call of God upon Moses and God's care for Israel, Exodus chapter 3 and verses 1 through 14. Aren't you glad God still calls people today? He still calls people to be saved. He still calls people to serve Him. And His hand is stretched out still, calling people around the world. Especially in this day of information going so quickly, people are rapidly making their own decisions concerning the Lord Jesus Christ in these last days of the church age. Exodus chapter 3, please. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. Notice in verse 4, when God saw that Moses turned aside to see that sight, that's when God called him. When Moses turned towards God, God called him. You know, God knows everyone's heart this morning. And the Bible says, if you draw nigh unto me, I will draw nigh unto thee. Verse 5, and he said, draw not nigh hither, but put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. And they're there right now, by the way, right where God said he was going to bring them. Notice verse 9. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is coming to me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, Who is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the word of God. Help us to cleave to it this morning and receive encouragement and instruction from it. Whatever it is that we need, we're so glad this morning that you are what we need. And we ask you to bless us this morning in a very special way. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank God for his call in the life of Moses, and thank God for his call upon our life. Remember the day he called you to himself? What a great day that was. God was working behind the scenes. Thank God he calls people to salvation. Thank God he calls people to service. I'd like you to notice with me this morning a few things about the call of God on Moses. We're going to look at the occupation of Moses when God called him. We're going to look at the way that God manifested himself to Moses. We're going to look at Moses' response and how that the Lord identifies with God's people and how God is concerned not only with Israel, but God's concerned with all people that come unto him in truth. And we serve a great and a wonderful God this morning. Notice the occupation of Moses. Moses, when God called him, was a shepherd. He had been a shepherd. And God was in no hurry in the work that he was doing to Moses. Moses was on that potter's wheel. And God was dealing with Moses in a very special way. For the first 40 years of Moses' life, he lived a life of privilege. He lived a life of wealth. He lived a life of being someone special in the household of Pharaoh. The next 40 years, he lived as a shepherd, the lowliest job that a person could have back then. And, you know, there's a program on TV about the dirtiest jobs. You ever see that? If that program was around back in the days of Moses, Moses would be on that show. Because to be a shepherd in the eyes of Egypt was an abomination. I'd like you to look at Genesis chapter 46, please. Genesis chapter 46. Genesis 46, 31. You find it? Charge. But don't stand up and shout it out. You know, try to reserve yourself to next week's Sunday school. And Joseph said unto his brethren and unto his father's house, I will go up and show Pharaoh and say unto him, my brethren in my father's house, which were in the land of Canaan, are coming to me. And the men were shepherds, for their trade had been to feed cattle. And they had brought their flocks and their herds and all that they had. And it shall come to pass when Pharaoh shall call you and shall say, what is your occupation? That you shall say, thy servant's trade hath been about cattle from our youth, even unto now, both we and also our fathers, that you may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. And so Moses was a shepherd. And it's interesting that God had to work in his life where he came to the end of himself. And when he became nothing in the sight of God, God could use him. God can do a lot with nothing. Everything we see was made out of nothing. Amen. And when you are, and when you and I are nothing in the sight of God, and God is everything in our life, God can use us too. For 40 years, he learned to be somebody. He was a person of wealth, as I said, of privilege, of power. And then the next 40 years, he learned how to be nothing. And then he learned what God could do with nothing. We serve a great God, a great and a powerful God. In Exodus chapter 3 and verses 2 and 3, we read about the fire. The fire is a mysterious power, is it not? Californians know that all too well today, don't they? Every year they battle the fires. Fires burn up everything in its path. But not on this day. This day, this fire was different. Moses looked at something that was very unusual. A fire that wouldn't consume a bush. It just kept burning like a candle. And he had to see what it was all about. And that's what God used to get his attention. The Bible is also compared to fire in the scriptures. And God himself is called a consuming fire. I'm not much of a big fan of late night comedians and shows of that nature. But recently one of them said this that I thought was very interesting. He said, with hurricanes, tornadoes, fires out of control, mudslides and flooding, severe thunderstorms tearing up the country from one end to another, and with the threat of bird flu and terrorist attacks, are we sure this is a good time to take God out of the Pledge of Allegiance? Are we sure? And he meant that as a pun, but it certainly was an interesting point. We need God more than ever before in America. It's time we start putting God back into the public square. It's time we start mentioning his name in public. It's time we start bringing the Bibles back to our schools. It's time we start mentioning God unashamedly in the marketplace, wherever people are found. It's because the others have been bold, and they've been pushing the Christians aside. But thank God for the Bible. Someone wrote a poem, "Thank God for the Bible." Oh, how we thank thee, our God, for the Bible, whose truth doth each century clearer reveal, the fountain of wisdom and source of all knowledge, the court of humanity's final appeal. Oh, here thou revealest that thou art our Father, the hand that hath fashioned and caused us to be. Oh, resident forces, electrons, and atoms could never have made or have loved us like thee. Oh, how we thank thee, O God, for the Bible, the gospel's glad story, nor else had we known, of sinners redeemed and made meet for thy glory, of sinners redeemed who shall sit on thy throne. Then glory and honor, dominion and power, ascribe to the Trinity again and again, to Father and Son and the blessed Holy Spirit, forever and ever. Amen and amen. Thank God that the Bible never changes. It's the same old story from generation to generation. And the same old story has the power to change lives. The same Word of God never changes. Feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the Word of God, none else is worth believing. Though all my heart should feel condemned for want of some sweet token, there is one greater than my heart whose word cannot be broken. I'll trust in God's unchanging word till soul and body sever. For though all things shall pass away, his word shall stand forever. Martin Luther wrote that many years ago as he found the freedom that the word of God does give. The word of God not only is likened unto fire, but fire is symbolic of a lot of things in the Bible. Jesus Christ on the cross was beneath the full fire of God's wrath. Think about that. Jesus Christ on the cross, becoming sin for us who knew no sin, tasted the cup of God's wrath in its fullness so that you and I could be free. The innocent dying for the guilty. What a wonderful gift to give to this world, that the creator of this world would come down to a sin and a wicked world. The creator now viewing his creation from a cross of shame. And that's what they did to heaven's lovely one as he took the God's wrath upon him. And on the cross, he cries out, my God, why do you forsake me? Strange words coming from the Son of God. Forsaken by God because God had to turn his back on his Son because God cannot look upon sin. And in that moment, Christ was taking on him the sins of the world. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Praise God. Anyone that goes to heaven, they're going because of what Jesus did on the cross, the blood atonement, nothing else. Nothing to the cross I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Thank God he paid the full sin debt of God's wrath. Fire also represents the church in the fires of persecution through the years. I've often said this, and I believe it, that we are walking on a bridge that others have built. I carry and I read a Bible that people gave their lives for. Literally gave their lives so that we could have something called the Word of God. We owe a lot to them. We're walking on bridges others have built by their blood, sweat, and tears. And the torch has been passed to us. Their torch has been passed to us. Do we carry it? Do we carry it to reach our generation? Are we going to take that torch and be faithful and to carry it? I hope the answer is yes. The fire also represents the Jews and their fire of affliction. Jewish people have always had a tough time, but they're still God's chosen people. Even now, everything that happens to them, God is not asleep in his heaven. And one day he's going to come back for them and rescue them. It may be very soon. It could be a skirmish just like today, what's going on right now, that ushers out the church age with the trumpet sound. It could be very, very well right now that the banquet table is being set. Can you hear the china clinking? Oh, if I planned for this better, I would have clinked one under here. It could very well be that this skirmish is the one that ushers in the end time battle. But before that is the rapture of the church, when the day of grace is over. The church age is over. It's not over yet, Mr. Camping. I love your music, but your teaching's got to go. And when I'm 80-something years old and I start teaching false teaching, I hope somebody will let me retire in peace before I start writing books and nonsense. And all the church age is not over. Because when the church age is over, the Holy Spirit will be withdrawn. And all that resembles love will be gone. There's still a lot of love in this world. There's still a lot of love in our churches. There's still a lot of love in our families. But it could very well be that we're living in those days the Bible talks about. The perilous days of the last days. Do we carry the torch that's been passed to us? I hope so. Yes, one of these days Jesus is going to come back. We better be in tune with the Lord, for His coming is at nigh, maybe even at the door. Things are getting ready. You know, in this day of information travels fast. People are actually now really making up their minds, their eternal decisions. No one has ever lived in a day like this. On the internet, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of Christian radio stations broadcasting worldwide. My son's got me TiVo for Father's Day. I tell you, that's an amazing instrument. I went down to the music section, and I went over to some of the stations that are available on the World Wide Web, and I punched in the word Christian. Thousands of stations going out around this world. You say, why, Pastor? Because people are making their eternal decisions. And the Bible says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And God never sends judgment before He sends warning. And there's never been a generation like this where God's word has traveled so fast. Even our little church, it's right here, has sermons on the World Wide Web. Think about it. People listen. They visit our church from all parts of the world. If I have friends overseas or friends on the West Coast or friends in other countries, I'll send them a little link for our church. And they come and visit us on the World Wide Web and they listen to a couple sermons. Our little church. We're living in amazing days, folks. We really are. Well, we notice His occupation. We notice how God manifested Himself unto Moses. We notice also His humiliation. He takes off His shoes from off His feet because Moses was on holy ground and he knew it. You know, we've got holy ground right here in our church. Think about that. There have been people that have been saved right here. In the years. We've had children saved downstairs. Scores of them. Holy ground. I'm glad I go to a place where people can hear about Jesus. That Jesus loves them. That Jesus died on the cross for them. That Jesus' hands are stretched out still, willing to receive them. Yes, he bowed in God's presence. Someone said that only the man who knows how to take off his shoes in humility can God trust to walk in power. You know, there are a lot of paradoxes in the Bible. For example, the way up is down. The way to be great is to serve. The way to find your life is to lose it. unsaved people don't understand those things, do they? But yet they are true. And Moses said to God, "Who am I?" in verse 11 of Exodus 3. And someone said, faith gets the most and humility keeps the most. You know, when I think about that, when Moses said, "Who am I?" it reminds us that you and I should never lose the wonder of it all. The wonder of salvation. Why should God care anyway? Well, thank God he does. But never lose the wonder of your own salvation. That God loved you, and he came to seek and save you. He came to seek and save that which was lost. And he left the job undone. And through the church, he's still seeking peoples out, individuals out, touching them on the shoulder, giving them an invitation. Come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Thank God there is rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our problem is we come to too many other sources for comfort. There's no comfort like the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I got to tell you, Tony, he's a pretty good hugger. But you'd never been hugged until Jesus hugged you. So the arm of the Lord wraps his arm around you. Or the hand of God gives you a comforting touch. Thank God that God cares about his people still. He never changes. He's always the same. We notice in this call of Moses that God identified with his people. In verses 7 through 10, the Lord said, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people. I have heard their cry. I know their sorrow. I have come." That's New Testament, isn't it? Think about it. In the Old Testament, we have all the concerns of God. I know, I've heard, I've come down. And he has come down, hasn't he? 2,000 years ago, he came down to this earth. Walked the streets of Jerusalem. Healed people, raised the dead. I said, "Pastor, you really believe that?" "I really believe that." Healed lepers, healed the blind, raised the dead, raised the devil, gave the religious leaders fits because of their hypocrisy and that God was not real to them. Thank God that Jesus came down. And he is coming again. He came down to visit Moses so that Israel would get off on a good start. He came down 2,000 years ago to be the sin bearer of the world. And one day soon, perhaps today, perhaps before the service is over, King Jesus is going to come back again. But this time he's not coming back as a lamb. This time he's coming back as a reigning king. And the creator of this universe with his saints. Well, we also notice the revelation of himself. Moses said, "Lord, if they ask me what your name is, at least tell me that much. I'm willing to go, but tell me your name." God said, "Tell them I am have sent you. I am have sent you." Oh, thank God. You know, there's a lot of I ams in the scriptures. Notice some of them. In Matthew, he said, "I am the God of Abraham," Jesus said, "and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob." God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." And Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He cometh to me shall never hunger and never thirst. I am the bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." John 8, he said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness." Are you walking in darkness this morning? Are you tripping over the cares of this life? Jesus is still the light of the world. Fix your eyes upon him. In John 9, he says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. John 10, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. John 10, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. John 10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And know my sheep, and I am known of mine. John 11, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In other words, the way is blocked. You can't get through to God the Father, but I can get you through. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. The way is blocked, but I'll get you through. You come with me. That's all you need is Jesus. You don't need the church. You need Jesus. Church is an important thing. Church is important in your life, but Jesus is the main thing. In John 15, Jesus said, I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth fruit, much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. We've got to keep our eyes on the Lord and abide in him. Revelation 1:17, and when I saw him, John said, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. And then lastly, in Revelation 22, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and the morning star. Oh, yes, Moses got the right answer when God said, tell them, I am, hath sent you. Oh, yes, Moses had a big job to do, but he had a big God that would help him. And God revealed himself to Moses. I think God's favorite word in the Bible is a simple word called come. It's a word of invitation. Think about that. It's the word he used to Noah. Come thou into the ark. It's all ready. All things are ready. Come. He said to Isaiah, come now. Let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. It's the same word he used to little Zacchaeus up in that tree, trying to get a good look at the Lord. And the Lord came down to where he was and looked up in that tree and said, Zacchaeus, come down. What? I'm going to your house today. Zacchaeus said, you come to my house? Me? I don't have any friends. I'm nobody in this life. People hate me. I'm a thief. You want to come to my house? Wow. Old Zacchaeus got saved that day. I think halfway down that tree, he got born again. Amen. I tell you, if the rapture took place when he was coming down that tree, he'd be like a pogo stick. Yes, come is a great word. Jesus used that same word when he met Matthew. Matthew was sitting there taking tax money, and the Lord said, come, follow me. So what did Matthew do? He did the smart thing. He followed him. And you, the smart thing. If you're following him, you're doing the smart thing. That's the only wise thing to do in life, is to follow the Lord. Come. Revelation 22:17. I like to close with this verse. This is the last invitation in the Bible. You know, one day, every unsaved person is going to receive a last invitation. Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, what? And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Everybody wants the lost saved. Father does, the Son does, the Holy Spirit does. They're all saying the same thing. Come! The church is saying to the lost, come! Everybody's saying the same thing. Come! Come to the Lord, for He will receive you. Maybe this morning there's never been a time when you've invited the Lord Jesus into your heart to be your personal Savior. That one little word is for you. Come. Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor, heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Maybe this morning God is calling you to service. Maybe He's speaking to you. Oh, there's no burning bush, but He's speaking to you. He wants you to serve Him in some way. Oh, you'll never be happy until you surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. As we pray, our pianist is going to come and play a verse of invitation. And as she plays, I want you to just listen to the music and think about where God is in your life this morning, or if He does have a place at all. Moses heard the call. God had a job for him to do. There is a call to salvation, and there is a call to service. The first is the call of salvation. This morning, God is calling you to Himself. You've never been born again, never been saved by grace. If you died this morning, you're not sure you go to heaven. Would you say, Pastor, I'd like the folks to pray for me this morning that I might know the Lord Jesus as my Savior. I want to be remembered in prayer this morning. I see your hand. Would you just lift it up high and put it down? Anyone like that this morning? God has brought you here for a reason today. Anyone like that? Like to be remembered in prayer? God bless you. Maybe God is speaking to you about service. Maybe He's speaking to you about teaching a Sunday school class, working in the bus ministry, going to the nursing homes, maybe starting a jail ministry, maybe going out with some of us on Thursday night, maybe helping out in the nursery, maybe joining us on Wednesday night, being a prayer warrior, praying for our nation, praying for our families, praying for our community. Maybe God is speaking to you about being baptized. Never been baptized, though you're a believer. Would you come this morning? God is speaking to your heart. Maybe God's calling you to be more faithful. Faithful to Him at the workplace. Maybe just like to come this morning and pray at an old-fashioned altar even now as our pianist is playing. Would you come and find a place of prayer if God has spoken to your heart this morning? You know, baptism is the first step of a Christian. Being willing to identify with Him, putting on His uniform, not being afraid of what others may think. Decide today that you're not ashamed of Him in this sinful generation. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. Father, may your will be done this morning, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.